Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 on Thursday afternoon, October 23rd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The FBI announces NBA arrests tied to a mafia-linked gambling probe. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the government shutdown is nearing a breaking point. Stalled paychecks, frozen benefits, and missing data leaving the Fed flying blind as economic risks escalate. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And one of the many issues caused by the government shutdown, and there are many, is that for economists and for policymakers, they are now flying blind. There has just been a lack of official government economic information because of the government shutdown. We didn't get a jobs report for September, for example, and we will get a CPI print this week just because people are being called back to the office to produce it. But what does that mean for you? What does that mean for policymakers as this government shutdown drags on?
Well, it does make it more difficult to assess what's really happening in more real time with the economy. The one thing I will note, Rob, is the Federal Reserve does have an advantage that most of us doesn't. That is, each of the 12 districts around the country canvass businesses in their districts, and they glean a lot of good information that then subsequently shows up in the Beige Book, which is produced prior to every FOMC meeting. So the Federal Reserve has other outlets, but your point is spot on in the sense of the traditional economic reports that the Fed does use and incorporate into funding or, you know, determining monetary policy. They don't have that stuff right now, so it does make it more challenging.
And it seems like in the absence of official government information, all we're left to rely on is third quarter earnings reports. And I would imagine the product churned out by research desks at various banks are worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's trying to analyze the economy, you're going to be mining different data points to try to put a picture together. I think in terms of the Fed, they will likely lower the funds rate again when they meet next week, Rob. The last time they cut rates in September, Chair Powell called it an insurance cut. And given the uncertainty regarding the government shutdown, there is going to be some economic impact to that. I think it increases the probability that the Fed will cut rates one more time by 20 basis points when they meet next week.
And then as this government shutdown rolls on, it is getting close to the longest shutdown of all time, that record set 6 or 7 years ago, 2018 into 2019. And in the opening stages of the government shutdown, the analysis was, well, it's no biggie. They'll reach an agreement and eventually everything will snap back into place. Is that analysis still correct as we approach day 30?
I think largely it is, Rob. The determining factor will be if all the workers, federal workers that are now not being paid, subsequently get paid. Citizens and consumers who rely on government income transfers for things like the SNAP program and so forth, if those missed payments, if they do in fact incur in the first part of November, if they then are made, that's why the lasting impact on the economy is really almost negligible. So I think that's the key determinant. Do we see back pay and back benefits and income transfers reinstated and pay back what was maybe missed? I think the economy will be okay.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the FBI cracks down on a mafia-linked NBA gambling ring. A lot of aspects to this story.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The FBI has indicted 31 people in a sweeping NBA gambling scandal. Joining us now with the latest details is CBS News correspondent Peter King. Peter, thank you for joining us today, and what a week this has been in the NBA. It began with opening night. It began with the unveiling of a brand new TV package that included the NBA on NBC for the first time in a generation. And now we are talking about a sweeping gambling scandal that could call the integrity of the games into question. And these are two different gambling scandals.
That's right. This is absolutely nutty. There are 11 states, more than 30 arrests or people who will surrender. And the message from the U.S. attorney, who is, the lead prosecutor on this, is that for those involved, your winning streak is over. Where do you want me to start?
Well, let's begin with these alleged rigged poker games where New York organized crime families were using NBA players as lures to bring high stakes gamblers into these rigged executive card games.
That's right. They were using former NBA players and probably former other athletes, too, as far as to get starstruck bettors. And then they would get them into the games, the high stake games, and then fleece them by using a lot of technology and signals and things like that. If you remember the poker scene way back in the James Bond Goldfinger movie, all of this makes that look rather quaint. I mean, there were items like shuffle machines that could secretly read altered cards. There was equipment that could predict who had the best poker hand. There was X-ray equipment that could read cards that were face down. That's how nutty it is. And this was dating back to 2019 or so, and at least three organized crime families said to be involved in this.
And then you also have this second parallel scandal where former and current NBA players were feeding inside information to gamblers so they can bet against certain outcomes because they knew who was hurt, they knew who was leaving early, and they knew who would play and who wouldn't.
Right. In this case, the only active player involved is Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat. The Heat actually played here in Orlando last night. Rozier was arrested at his hotel here early this morning. One example was where he had told people when he played for the Charlotte Hornets back in 2023 that he planned to leave the game early with a supposed injury. And there were a lot of bets placed based on that. A couple of $100,000 worth of bets or payoffs, I should say. And apparently this happened, more than once. And there was a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars in bets believed to have been profited from this cheating scandal.
Now, we know that some suspensions have been handed down as a result of these arrests today. But otherwise, how is the league responding?
Well, the only thing the league has said was that Rozier and Chauncey Billups, the Hall of Fame coach of the Portland Trailblazers, who was allegedly involved in the poker games, were placed on leave from their teams. They haven't had anything more to say on that except, the usual, we're waiting for the outcome of the investigation, that kind of thing.
CBS News correspondent Peter King, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour to bring us up to speed on this NBA gambling scandal, which is almost out of a movie given the characters involved.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We now know what United's doing with those new gates at O'Hare and expanding with 10 new domestic routes, including six cities no other airline serves from Chicago. We welcome Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. Now, when it comes to airline operations, we look at some of these destinations that are being offered by United, Santa Barbara, California, Eugene, Oregon, Paducah, Lynchburg, Virginia, but also Wausau, Wisconsin, and Marquette, Michigan. How many of these flights are considered destinations, and how many of these flights are considered pass-through? That you would, if you live in Marquette, Michigan, you're flying through Chicago to get someplace else.
Well, yeah, this press release jumps out of the page here. The routes they're adding, because we're going to have more United destinations from Chicago than any time in their history, up to 212. You know, some are just a seasonal and so forth. But you're right; they're doing mainline jets to Santa Barbara, Eugene, Monterey, and smaller jets to those other places you mentioned, and of course. The feeder flights that are going to Marquette, Michigan, and others will be, you know, smaller planes, mainly the local people heading out of town. But it really adds energy to the Chicago hub, and it's made possible by those six gates that they were awarded in response to the lawsuit with American Airlines. So they're flexing their muscle.
And then once again, it seems like this is a bet on the part of United, not only on its continued viability in Chicago, because there have been a lot of questions about United's long-term future in Chicago, given the build-out of infrastructure that's currently taking place near their hub in Denver, but also on the health of the traveling public, that people do want to fly to wine country, let's say, in Santa Barbara, California, and make a vacation of it.
Well, that's exactly right, and we're just seeing post-pandemic kind of these luxury pleasure trips just take off. People upgrade to first-class, business-class if they can, willing to pay premiums for those prime departure slots, and so we're going to see that. And I think what's exciting for our city is that as recently as, you know, a couple years ago, it wasn't clear that O'Hare was going to be a primary hub for United anymore, with Houston and Newark and so forth outpacing us so much in Denver. And that's all changed now. So they're really going to revamp O'Hare. Years ago, it was their primary U.S. hub, and it's becoming that again. And American, of course, is waiting in the wings to do some things itself.
And then how much of this is the result of that years-long O'Hare runway renovation process that was designed to straighten out the runways so they weren't crisscrossing each other, and it ideally to build capacity at O'Hare for the 21st century?
Oh, yeah, you just couldn't imagine this pre-O'Hare modernization program with those new runways, straighten things out, lengthen runways. And that was a long and painful process, but it's made possible this, because you just can't run these big airlines anymore with five, six times a year fog coming in, and you have to cancel hundreds of flights. Airlines just are on way too tight of a schedule arrangement now to do that. So it's solved all that, and we don't have the kind of delays. Of course, our terminals have fallen behind, and work is happening on that new satellite concourse to set the stage for big things. But it's really good for O'Hare.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, controlling your digital footprint after you're gone, why it's smart to make a plan now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Athletes, coaches, and alleged mobsters are among those arrested in a huge illegal betting case involving the NBA. Governor Pritzker signs an executive order aimed at addressing federal enforcement. It's Technology Thursday. We'll take a look at your digital afterlife. Plus, there's some good news for potential homebuyers. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 108 points. The NASDAQ up 170. And the S&P 500 up 33, 48 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, 30 people, most of whom are NBA players and coaches, have been arrested in connection with a federal investigation into illegal sports betting. There are two federal criminal cases, one involving illegal high-stakes poker games with sports coaches that were allegedly operated by organized crime figures. The Fed say the athletes were used as lures to bring high-stakes gamblers into these rigged games. The second case involves a sports betting ring of former, current, and NBA players. CBS News Justice Department correspondent Jake Rosen has more.
The Trump Department of Justice, in addition to the number of other high-profile things we've talked about, has made sports gambling a focus of theirs. Earlier this year, former NBA player Gilbert Arenas, a very controversial player when he played, was also indicted for running an illegal gambling ring as well. It's unclear how exactly these all are expected to be connected, if they are.
No comment yet from the NBA. As ICE agents continue to clash with Chicagoans around the city, Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed an executive order that would establish an Illinois Accountability Commission. The independent board will be tasked with capturing and creating a public record of the conduct of federal law enforcement agents. Governor Pritzker says the order comes in response to the lack of any federal accountability for escalating federal enforcement actions marked by excessive force. The commission will consist of up to 9 members appointed by the governor, including a chair and a vice chair. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are up. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist with B. Riley Wealth in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. A bit of a bounce back today from yesterday's sell-off. This despite some ho-hum tech earnings, starting with Tesla.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. In baseball terms, we've had three up and three down. So that's been the pattern this last 6 days. And coming into today, it's coming off a three-day downdraft. Driven more by macro than by micro, I'd say on balance, there's been one household name a day this week that has disappointed. Tesla today, Netflix yesterday. But I think in general, if you look at the 125 S&P 500 companies that are reported, 83% of them are beating, and that's higher than normal. And more importantly to me is 53% are raising their estimates for the next quarter. So I would say, in general, earnings reporting season has gone pretty well. And if we get some of these macro concerns behind us, like trade tensions with China for sure and reopening the government, I think we can see even more tailwinds for this market. But that's the world we live in today.
What were some of the main issues with Tesla? It seems like all the other electric car manufacturers, they're probably grappling with the end of the $7,500 tax credit.
Yeah, that was the biggest piece of it. I think that's where the, I think there was a pull forward in demand to get in front of that, the losing that incentive and the pull forward probably benefited them more than any of the other EV makers. And most of the OEMs are backing off of their EV projects and selling more hybrids. But I would say in general, when you look at the car sale numbers versus their overall revenue and margins, the disappointment was more in the margins than it was in the top line revenues. And I think it's a company that most of the shareholders are really believing in the longer term dream of robotics and self-driving cars. And that's just not this year's business. So I think in general, you know, it's a stock that was coming in at or near a high, and didn't think much of a disappointment to knock it off its feet a little bit.
And even though earnings season, you know, by and large is going well, are we in a situation where the market is valued at such a point where even if you beat expectations, if there's any sign of a wobble, your stock is going to get punished?
Yeah, you know, coming in to an earnings reporting season with the market in general at or near an all-time high, and many of the popular names, you know, the most traded names, you know, at highs, it's very difficult to say anything during your earnings report that's not going to cause a sell on the news kind of reaction. We saw that last week with JP Morgan. We're seeing that in some of the names that are reporting today. Tremendous overall scorecard for earnings, but, you know, it all has to be placed in the perspective of, you know, at what multiple are these companies trading at anyway in a year where the S&P 500 is some 25% above its April 2nd lows. And I think that really is how investors are looking at this. And the good news is investors are also looking for other places besides technology, communication services, utilities, and industrials, the four leading groups, to put their money. So we're seeing a nice rotation in some of the underperforming groups.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Wealth in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up in Technology Thursday, taking charge of your online legacy, managing your digital life before it outlives you.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Your online data could outlive you, and without a plan, your digital ghost may wander forever through the servers, websites, and the cloud. Joining us to discuss is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder and editor-in-chief of Techish.com based in Seattle. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And to really illustrate this point, there was a former colleague who passed away about a dozen years ago now. His Facebook page was still active, set up, frozen in time from this person's last day on Earth. And then a couple of years after he passed, his Facebook page began posting Candy Crush results again. It's a Halloween story made for this age. And we were all kind of stunned that it was nice to see this person posting again, but it was automated Candy Crush posting. And that seems to be the story for a lot of people, where they may have an estate plan, but they don't have a digital estate plan.
You know, the worst is when every year Facebook sends you a reminder to wish your dead loved one a happy birthday. I mean, the struggle is real. It's awful. These accounts often get taken over by hackers. And, you know, the stories are endless and they're worse and worse. And now, Rob, think about this. Who owns AI you after you die? I mean, with Sora 2 and all of that AI slop that we're seeing, I mean, you could live on in ways that just absolutely crush you thinking about while you're living. So it's an important part of life planning, death planning, to think about your digital legacy. It's more important than ever. And that really splits into two different categories, your digital assets and your digital presence.
Now, I think let's break this down along two tracks. I mean, first off, we all have social media accounts, and it behooves you to make sure that your significant other has the passwords and all the ways to access that social media account. That so when you do die, you can shut that thing down so that it doesn't continue posting Candy Crush results or pose an attractive target to a hacker who would like to get into that page and possibly steal other personal information that's out there.
Yeah, you need to turn this over to your estate planning attorney, a trusted loved one. So go ahead on your laptop, make a spreadsheet of all of your passwords, save it somewhere on your laptop. People think, oh, that's not very safe. But the odds of somebody actually breaking in and getting your passwords off of a spreadsheet on your laptop, especially if it's password protected, or even that physical little book sitting next to your computer at home, odds are very, very low on that compared to the risks of all the other ways that people break into your passwords. Then also you need to think about digital assets. Those include items with economic value. So you might have a domain name. I, for one, have a domain name that's worth a lot of money. Some of my social media accounts are worth some money. Think about that. What do you have? Do you have virtual currencies? Do you have cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and things like that? Digital goods, personal digital ID. Think about those and make sure that those are A, that someone you trust and love can access those and deal with them for you, but also hidden behind passwords and or restricted by privacy laws. When it comes to your social media, even when it comes to your AI presence, a lot of states now have laws that can protect you, but you need to make sure that that's in order and you're ready to pull the lockdown on those if something should happen to you.
That is a very important point, especially if you do have a digital presence that you have monetized successfully. Maybe you're an influencer. Maybe you have a podcast. Maybe you have a marketing social media account that's attached to a successful business. That's all details that are brand new but still need to be buttoned up before you shuffle off this mortal coil.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some digital vaults that you can pay to deal with all of this for you. Those are, if you have, you know, a little bit of money to put into that, something like CLOCR, Clocker, something like that is a great way to go about it. Everplans is another one. And these vaults, these digital vaults, sprouted up because people dealt with this, with these exact problems. I wrote about this a few years ago in USA Today. This is stuff we have to think about. The other notion here, most of us have heard of the Swedish art of death cleaning. So it's basically we clean out our clutter and get things all organized while we're still alive and healthy and can do it. Think of that, but for your digital life. I mean, make a plan, put that plan in action. Have your pass keys, have your digital vaults, and just have a plan, because otherwise your online legacy will live on and you want to be in control of that.
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist, USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com in Seattle. Thank you for joining us today.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mortgage rates just hit their lowest level of the year. Let's bring on Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. Now, we're talking about mortgage rates of about 6.19%. That's a slight decrease from the week before. And essentially, if you're waiting for the days of 2 or 3% mortgage rates to return, you're going to be waiting for a long time.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, Rob. I think that, right now, they're sitting at the lowest that they've been, in over a year. And, I mean, they were above 7 when we started the year, and now we're at that 6.19 number. I think that's pretty exciting.
How does that translate into increased interest and movement in a housing market that's been locked up for a couple of years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this ease in rate, it really helps the home prices, and it really improves the affordability for buyers who are kind of priced out of that space. I mean, I think that that's what we're going to start to see is people kind of getting that awareness that, hey, these are low enough. I think I want to take the opportunity and jump into the market.
And then on the affordability side of the equation, one of the biggest complaints I have heard, I'm sure you have heard it as well, is even basic starter homes are selling for amounts of money that would have been just hard to believe in 2019. We're talking about, middle class, Georgians and Cape Cods going for $700,000. And if you're going into that type of market, how do you navigate it, especially if you have a limited budget?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, people that have that limited budget, it relates to that, pricing and now the pricing coming down. I think everybody was just so used to overpaying and worrying about these bidding wars and things. Now that it's starting to level off a little bit, it's going to be a different conversation that you're going to be having with your realtors and with your professionals to, obtain that house.
On the other side of the coin, if you are just trying to upgrade or downsize and you finally want to sell your home, what are some things that you should keep in mind if you want to take advantage of this environment and finally sell that house?
Well, again, the curb appeal is the big thing. We've talked about this numerous times, and I think that you get a, you know, first, you can only make one first impression. And realistically, if the curb appeal is not looking great, I mean, do some of the modest little things that you can do to fix your house to make it attractive for people to sell, for people to buy as well. So I think it's an important thing to just do the little things. It'll separate you from your competition.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.